The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Tonight we're going to continue in our verse-by-verse preaching of the book of Colossians, and I know we have a lot of Christmas parties and other events tonight, and so I'll be a little shorter. In fact, we'll cover just one verse, and this verse is a powerful verse and a wonderful verse, and I trust it'll be a help to you. As we open to Colossians 3:16 tonight, I'd like to speak on this subject, the Word of God in us. The Word of God in us. And we want to be a church that's rooted and grounded in Christ. And that happens as we're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And so let's stand together, and we're going to read Colossians chapter 3 and one verse tonight, verse 16. And I'd like you to read it with me. It's a great verse, and I want you to follow along with me as we read Colossians 3:16. I want to make sure everybody has it up in the balcony on the lower floor, Colossians 3:16. And let's read this verse together. Ready, begin. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right? One more time. Let's read it together, shall we? Ready, begin. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, our hearts have been blessed this month through the music from our church ministries, both the church, the school, the college. All of the singing, Lord, has been that which honors you and uplifts your name, so we thank you for it. We also thank you for the times that we've had to open the Word of God and to be challenged. And Lord, we think of many services in this nation of ours that are very secular and pluralistic. No doubt even in Connecticut tonight, though there's a great need for comfort and a great need for encouragement, and we thank you for that. Often, in order to be politically correct, your name is left to the side. And we thank you that in this service, we can lift your name up. And we can rejoice in you as the hope and as the giver of peace that has come to the world to offer hope and peace for each one. So help us, Lord, to find that in your word tonight and to be encouraged by your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One of the most powerful commands in Scripture is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, which says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, there's not a husband tonight who could say, "I don't need Philippians 2:5. I don't need more of the mind of Christ." Every husband here tonight needs more of the mind of Jesus Christ. And there's not a wife here who would say, "I don't need more of the mind of Christ." There are many Christian wives who are living a self-absorbed life and who are not living according to the mind of Christ. And every honest Christian wife would say, "I need more of the mind of Christ." And so many men, many women tonight, many children should hear this admonishment from Philippians 2:5 by way of introduction. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. And all of us who have spent some time in the Christian life would say, "I need to think more, I need to walk more in the steps of my Savior, Jesus Christ." And I believe tonight that a sincere Christian should ponder that thought. How can I live with more of the mind of Christ? If you're like me, you'll go through the period of a 24-hour period and you'll make some decisions and you'll look back and you'll go, "You know, I wasn't thinking of what Christ wanted me to do when I made that decision. I did what I wanted to do. I did what I thought was best, but in retrospect, if I would have had a Christ-like mind at that moment, I might have made a different decision about that particular situation." How many of you understand what I'm saying? All of us need more of the mind of Jesus Christ. And we need to ask tonight, how can I live with the mind of Christ? And tonight we're going to see how that is accomplished. We're going to learn tonight how our thinking and how our living, and by the way, really, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and it's from the heart that our life proceeds forth in direction and activity and decisions. And so tonight we're going to learn how we can have a mind that is the mind of Christ, that is transformed and renewed, and that is thinking in the way that is heavenly, and not earthly. And I want you to see that in order to have the mind of Christ, then our minds must be indwelled with the Word of God. And the Bible says here in our text, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You cannot have the mind of Christ apart from the word of God. You cannot think the way you should think as a Christian apart from the word of God. And you see, the fact is that our beliefs will determine our behavior. And in every situation in life, our beliefs and what we meditate on will determine our behavior. If someone meditates on pop psychology, then their behavior will reflect that psychology. If they meditate on thoughts that tell them there is no God, there are no absolutes, there's no right, there's no wrong, then they will see no problem with breaking vows and no problem with living a rampant immorality. If they believe there is no God, there is no restraint in the way that they live. There's no Ten Commandments. There's no difference. If someone spends all of their days playing little computer games and Dungeons and Dragons and over again, the loud heavy metal music and the Dungeons and Dragons, it will affect the way that they live. What you put into your mind will affect your behavior. And the Bible commands us tonight that we are to put into our mind the Word of Christ. And that as Christians, we are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us. And we make no apology that at Lancaster Baptist School, which is a distinctively Christian school and is a place of spiritual and academic excellence, we make no apology for the fact that we have a Bible class and chapel services, and that every course there is an emphasis on Christ as creator and on Christ as giving us His story. And we speak of Christ often in the classroom. Why? Because we want the mind of Christ to be cultivated in the hearts of our students, in the minds of our students, and that cannot happen apart from the Word of God. I want to tell you something tonight. You can't get enough of the Bible. Some people say, oh man, they go to church even on Sunday night. Wow. Folks, I got to tell you something. We need more than a sermon or two. We need to be in the Word of God daily. Notice what it says. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell in you. And so I want you to see tonight how you can have the mind of Christ. How your decision-making can reflect Jesus. How your decision-making can reflect the wisdom of God. And I want you to notice, if you're taking notes tonight, first of all, there must be an inward dwelling of the Word. There must be an inward dwelling. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That's why we have preaching, and that's why we have Bible classes, and that's why we have daily in the Word devotionals that we send out, and that's why we have printed devotionals, and that's why we have all kinds of emails with Journey with Jesus, and we're doing everything we can to get the Word of God out into the hearts of our community and the hearts of our members. Why? Because we're commanded to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Listen, many Christians tonight know about American Idol. They know about some other television show. They know the latest gossip. They know who's wearing what. They know about people, but they don't know about God. And if we're going to know the mind of God, we've got to spend time in the Word of God, you see. And I want you to understand, this is a rich indwelling, because this is God's Word indwelling in my heart and yours. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, this phrase is in the imperative mood. And in the Greek language, that simply tells us that this is a command from God. It is not a suggestion. God says, I want my word to permeate your thoughts. And the word that God uses in this verse is the word dwell. And it means to make influence. It means then to let God's word influence our lives. And the tragedy of the hour are Christian men and women who are living lives that are not under the influence of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. You go through this Christmas season and you deal with a man, as I did just a few days ago, who is completely inebriated, under the influence of alcohol. And it was very obvious, as I witnessed to the man, that he was slurring his words, and you could smell the stench of the alcohol. And he's trying to tell me what a good Christian he was and how much he knew about God, and trying to throw in a little bit of religion. It's amazing what people will say when they're under the influence. I want to tell you, it was obvious to me that he was under the influence of alcohol, but it ought to be equally obvious when a man or woman spends time in the Bible and they're memorizing scripture and they're having their daily devotions. It will be obvious that they are under the influence of the Bible because it's dwelling in them richly. It will be obvious by the way they speak and by the grace they give and by the love they show and by the restraint from sin and gossip that they are walking in the Word of God. John 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." And so the Word of God is to be constantly, richly abiding within us. Now someone says, well, I don't know, Pastor. I come to church. I hear you say some stuff. I kind of get motivated by it. I want to do it, but it just kind of Monday, I go down again, and I'm kind of up, and then I'm down. By the way, that's how most Christians are. They get a little Christian music, a little Christian rock music, maybe. They get a little emotional on a Sunday. They get a little excited on a Sunday, but then when they're away from it, they're kind of down again. Listen to me. God wants you to abide with Him 7 days a week. He wants this Christian life to be even kiltered. He wants it to be something where He's real in your life 7 days a week. So how then can we as His people have that inward dwelling 7 days a week of His knowledge? Well, I'm going to give you a few thoughts. First of all, we need to hear the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're hearing the Word of God daily. Revelation 1 and 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy." God says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy." You ought to thank God today that you live in the era of podcasts, and you live in the era where you can download a sermon and on the way to work, listen to preaching or listen to the read Word of God, and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And some of you that commute, you ought to turn off the talk show host and the talking heads and the negative naysayers, and all of those this week will have their so-called opinion about what's going on in America and why this happened and why that happened and how they ought to do this and that about it. And I'm going to tell you right now, 90% of what will be promoted will be not the answer. I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is still revival and Jesus and the Word of God in America again. But we'll listen to all the talking heads. And I'm telling you what, we ought to turn some of the talking heads off this week, and we ought to turn on the Bible. That's what we teach the children. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible, Bible, you see. That's the Bible. That's what we need, the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. Sometimes people come to church and they get everything but the main thing. I heard the story of the Wright brothers sending a message to their sisters. They wired to their sister Catherine after they had their first flight, the first time in human history when an airplane actually left the ground, and I forget how many seconds it was. It was a very brief flight. And they said, "Catherine, we've had this flight. It lasted this many seconds." And they said, "We'll be home for Christmas." And Catherine ran to the newspaper office. And she said, "I've got wonderful news. I've got wonderful news." And on December 19th in the local paper, they ran the wonderful news, which said on the sixth page of the newspaper, "The Wright brothers will be home for Christmas." The most important story was that man had flown. The Wright brothers had actually gotten that concoction up in the air, and they had defied gravity, and the first flight had taken place, but somewhere in the midst of it, Catherine got it all mixed up, and all she remembered was that her brothers were coming home for the holidays and would be home for Christmas. And a lot of people go to church, and they can tell you what somebody wore, and they can tell you about a song they heard, and they can tell you about some funny joke, and they can tell you about something else, but they miss the Word of God. And listen, enjoy the music, enjoy the fellowship, and all the rest of it. But when the Bible is preached, let's get something from the Word of God. We've got to hear the Word of God. We've got to handle the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Oh, you say, "Pastor, these children, they learn a lot of verses." Yes, they do. Lancaster Baptist Church and school has been blessed. And by the way, I've preached in hundreds of schools. I study the demographics. I study the various articles that come out on Christian education and high schoolers and college age. And we thank God for the vast majority of the students who graduate from this school who are in local church and serving God even tonight. Many dozens of them are here. We thank God. Some, though, will get away from the Lord for a while. Don't ever let the devil make you think it's a higher percentage. I'm going to tell you something. It's a much lower percentage at Lancaster Baptist, and praise God for that. But for those that do get away, and they will, the flesh being what it is, and the families today being what they are. By the way, it's not always the Christian school's fault when a 20-year-old decides to go against the Lord. That guy has a decision he's making on his own too. But I'm telling you that if we can get the Word of God in their heart, it may be that when he's 21 or 22 or 23, maybe in the military in Afghanistan, after a period of sin, after a period of wicked living, it may be that he'll remember a verse that he learned in the fifth grade class or the third grade class with Brother Coates, and the Word of God will come back into his mind, and that young man will say, I've got to get back with God. Why? Because he hid the Word of God in his heart. Oh, listen, the Word of God is like a seed, and sometimes it bears blossom when we think it would not. Sometimes it may bring fruit when we did not think it would. But we've got to handle the Word of God, and we've got to hide the Word of God in our heart. Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. Listen tonight, church, we've got to hear the Word of God, and we've got to handle the Word of God, and we've got to hide the Word of God in our heart, and we've got to heed the Word of God. James 1:20, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And we've got to hold the Word of God. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Moms and dads, when your boys and girls bring home memory verses, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to learn them with your children. Instead of saying, oh, more homework, you ought to say, here's a chance for me to learn a verse. To hide the word of God in my heart. The Bible says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It needs to be a rich indwelling, something that you cherish, something that you hold. And folks, tonight, the word of God will make the difference. And we're not going to have the mind of Christ without the indwelling of the word of God. It needs to be a rich indwelling. Secondly, it needs to be a wise indwelling. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. In all wisdom. You see, the Word of God brings wisdom to our lives. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And every one of us need wisdom tonight. I think oftentimes, now that I'm a grandfather, I think about the challenges our children will face in raising their children. We're living in America, frankly, that's very different than the America I grew up in just a few decades ago. Things that were not even spoken of, things that were considered evil and wicked, are now publicly promoted and legalized in our country tonight. And our young children are growing up in a world where they're being taught that wrong is right and right is wrong. Laws are being considered even now at the Ninth Circuit Court that would say that if a counselor, even a Christian counselor, tried to help someone leave perverse lifestyles and tried to tell them that those lifestyles are against the Bible, that the counselor could be guilty of a felony crime because of trying to help someone get away from a sinful lifestyle. I'm telling you, we are living in a wicked society today, and we need wisdom today to raise our children and to teach them how to live for Christ and how to live a sanctified life for the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word. It is the word of God that cleanses our minds and sanctifies our lives. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I'm telling you tonight, your children need bathing, and my grandchildren need bathing tonight. And that's true, and we want to keep them clean. But I'm worried about parents who are concerned about germs, and they're concerned about all kinds of etiquette, and they're concerned about cleanliness, and they should be. But then they'll turn around and let their children watch things on television that are wicked and ungodly and unbiblical. And I'm saying tonight, the Word of God will protect us, and the Word of God will guide us as we raise our children for the Lord. Tonight, we need to realize we need the wisdom of the Word of God. We need the inward dwelling of the Word of God. The other day, we had the television on, and we were watching something. I forget what it was, maybe sports, and little Camden was over at our house, and they came on that commercial, and they were kind of playing some loud music and jumping around and so forth, and Camden said, bad, Papa, they're bad. And I looked at it, and I said, you know, he's right, and I turned that channel. I'm thankful that a little guy is learning at a young age there's some things that are bad, and there's some things that we ought to turn away from. There's a young man that's got some principles being developed in his heart that are Bible-based principles. You say, well, he's just going to be judgmental. I pray it's not judgmental, but I do pray it's discerning and sanctified and pure, and that he'll live a life set apart from this wicked, ungodly world in which he's living, that God's indwelling word will make a difference in his life. Oh, listen, sometimes people say, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. I've never met a man yet too heavenly minded. I haven't. I meet a lot of Christians that are too earthly minded, but not very many that are too heavenly minded. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the inward dwelling. But then I want you to see, secondly, the outward transference. Now watch this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How many of you would agree with me? We need more Bible, not less Bible, in our hearts tonight. Amen. Because I can preach on that for a while longer if you're not up to speed with me yet. I can just tell by looking at some of you, you need about a 3-hour sermon tonight, just tonight. The word of God dwelling in our hearts. Let the word of God dwell, the inward dwelling. But notice the next part of the verse. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, there must be the inward dwelling of the word so that there can be the outward transference of the word. Dad, if you don't have some word in you, you can't teach and admonish your children in the word of God. And pastors and teachers and all of us involved in influencing the next generation need to recognize that we need the Word of God in us. We need to be stirred by the Word of God so that we can change others through the Word of God. Notice what it says in this verse again. It says, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, the transference of truth, that's what Lancaster Baptist Church, Lancaster Baptist School, and West Coast Baptist College is all about. It's about teaching and admonishing the truth that has indwelled our hearts, that truth that has been given to us by others through the Word of God, now transferring it. And this teaching takes place as the Word of God is imparted. Notice the two words here in this verse. First of all, the word teaching, didaskalos, the teacher giving forth the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so the Word of God tells us what is wrong and what is right and how to be instructed in righteousness. And we need the teaching of the Word of God to know how to make life's decisions. I heard about a pastor who at the last minute had to substitute for a Sunday school class, and he went in and he thought he'd kind of test and see the knowledge of the children and where they were and their Bible history and so forth. And so he said to the boys, he said, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Who did that? And all the boys said, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. And he was appalled at their ignorance. He couldn't believe it. And at the next deacon's meeting, he told the deacons about what happened, and he said, not one of them knew who knocked down the walls of Jericho, he lamented. Well, one of the older seasoned deacons spoke up. He said, now, preacher, this seems to be bothering you quite a bit, but I've known all those boys since they were born, and they're good boys, and if they said they didn't know, I believe them. Let's just take some money out of the repair fund and fix the wall. I mean, what's the big deal, pastor? The Bible says we're to be teaching, line upon line, the Word of God to the next generation. Now, thank God for the Christian school, but dads and moms, take time in your homes. And I know how busy some of you are, but just to open the Word, to give a verse for the day, to give a comment or two, to pray, to give a Bible principle to our children. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, teaching, notice, and admonishing. The word admonishing means to warn or to exhort. Sometimes we need to give a warning to our children. We need to say, now, Johnny, I want you to realize now that God has given to us authority in our lives, and you have a teacher that's going to teach you, and I want you to show respect and give honor. I want you to do your best. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God, and we want our lives to bring glory to God and admonishing our children to do that which is right. Oh, listen tonight. The Bible is very clear that we need the admonishment as adults as well. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. And we've seen that for many decades now in America, men and women turning away from doctrine, turning away from preaching, finding a little study here, a little excuse there, a little reason there, and getting away from the preaching. But I say to you tonight, the transference of truth is something you never get past. You're never too old to need to hear what the Bible says. It's a lifelong journey, and all of us need to be growing in the Word of God, the transference. So we see here that there's to be an outward transference from one generation to the next, from parents to children, from pastors to churches, transferring the truth, communicating the truth. But notice, next of all, the methods. Notice the methods here in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, that's transferring truth, one another. Now notice this, notice the methods, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now tonight we get a glimpse into church methodology, we get a glimpse into church music, and we begin to realize that there's a humongous difference between American Idol and church. And besides things that we could preach against tonight, such as the immoral, ungodly lifestyles of Lady Gaga and others that would appear on the secular shows, trash and filth. We could preach on that for a while. By the fact that it's so quiet, I think I will. There's not a father in here that loves his children who'd let his children watch that. You're not a real man of God if you let your children watch a writhing type of a half-dressed person on television singing about their immorality with someone else. You've got a problem in your noggin and in your heart if your children watching that. And some of you ought to hit the altar tonight and stop sitting there thinking, I come to Sunday night and I even give a tithe. That's enough. It's not enough if you're not living for God. It's time for Christians to have Christian homes tonight. And so there's a vast difference between the world's idea and the church music. But besides the immorality and the lyrics and all the wicked stuff that could be seen, and I know someone's going to say, but there's this one guy and he sang a song about Jesus. All right, I understand that happens too sometimes, but I'm preaching about the other right now. And I'm telling you, if the other comes on, you ought to be turning that off. You ought to be turning it off. You don't sit there with your children and watch something that's all about wickedness and immorality and just kind of watching that, you turn it off. If a 3-year-old can say bad, a 45-year-old ought to say bad. But there's another difference besides the good and evil aspect. And here's what I want you to see tonight briefly. In the world sense, music to them is about primarily entertainment. It's fun, it's enjoyable, it's cool, it's a neat this, it's a neat that. But in the church, music is primarily for the purposes of education and worship. Now, there may be an emotional response to the music, and that's not a sin. And it's not wrong to feel good in church and to be encouraged in church. And it's not wrong in some sense even to have a form of education that may have a part of it that is somewhat entertaining in the good moral biblical sense. But fundamentally, music should be in the church for the purpose of exalting Jesus Christ. And when it's so entertaining that the focus is on the singer and not on the Savior, we're missing the point. You see, what we teach these children is what I said a moment ago, whatever you do, do it all the glory of God. And when something good happens that's a blessing like it was tonight, we want to give God the glory for the great things we saw tonight. Do you know how many people tonight, including those that have made it big on shows like I've mentioned, like American Idol, do you know how many of them started singing in church? And they started singing about Jesus? And do you know how many of them started their career singing in church and for Jesus, and they end their career singing about immorality and multiple marriages later and living a life that is a life of ill repute. And I'm just telling you tonight, somewhere along the line, they got into entertainment mode and they got into the me mode, and we are living in the cult of me in America today, and they forgot it's not all about me, it's all about Him. And that's what church music should be, all about Jesus. That's why we're here tonight. It should be all about Him. And so Christian music is to lift up His name. And then notice again, it says teaching and admonishing one another. And here's the method given: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now quickly, a psalm, psalms very, very simply are scriptures put to music. And I love songs that have a lot of scripture in them, and they bring forth the truth about Jesus Christ, and they help us to understand who Jesus is. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And you see, many times the songs we sing teach our generation. One of the things that, and those of you who have been here for a while, you understand I'm not against a new song now and then. The Bible says the Lord put a new song in our heart. I'm not against using all kinds of instruments. I have no use for the rock and roll, the bringing the Jesus to the worldly side of things in the way some would. That's not our style here. That's not our conviction here. But I'm going to tell you something. While we use a lot of different kinds of music, and we thank the Lord for all the good music we've heard, and the new songs that we have from time to time and so forth, I want you to understand this as well, that when we are singing music, the purpose of this music is to lift up the Lord. It is to transfer the truth. And what we want more than anything are songs that are speaking to the truth about Jesus Christ and giving the truth to the next generation, the truth of Jesus Christ. And this is one of the reasons I love the hymns, is because, and I think you'll understand this, the hymns, like Blessed Assurance, like Jesus Saves, if you'll understand this, they're a linkage between generations. How many of you understand what I just said? So it's something that Grandpa knew, it's something that I know, it's something my children know. Now, by the way, those who go to the extreme to say the only good ones were written in the 1700s or in the 1950s, that's a misinterpretation as well. Because the Bible says the Lord has put a new song in my heart. There could be such a thing as a new spiritual song that Brother Hopkins writes in 2012 that is equally as acceptable. But some of the old hymns, what I love about them is the fact that I may have sung Blessed Assurance when I was 10, and my children sang it when they were 10, and by the grace of God, my grandchildren were singing it, and we can all sing it together, and we all are singing it together because it's based on the Scripture, and we're exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a great thing to do. Now, sometimes we're going to sing a song, and some of you are going, I ain't never heard this song a day in my life. Where'd they pull this thing from? American Idol? No. And it's okay if we sing a song that you haven't heard. In fact, I like it once in a while when our music ministry teaches a song that I've never heard, and I'll tell you why. Some of you can sing Blessed Assurance while you're thinking about 58 other things on your mind. Some of you can sing, oh, victory in Jesus, I've got to change the oil tomorrow, and I've got to go get my computer fixed, and brother guy's looking at me, and it's okay. And because you know the words, you know the tune, and you can just go on autopilot. But when they say, here's a song we're going to learn tonight, it's new. You know what you have to do? You have to think about the words, and learn the words, and a new song that glorifies God. And that is not always bad. That can be very, very good. But a psalm is primarily a scripture song. It's a scripture-filled song. Then the word hymn. A hymn is an expression of praise to God. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. These are the great hymns of our faith, and they cause us to rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is mighty. And then he says psalms and hymns. And then notice the third phrase there. And we're preaching the Bible here tonight. Psalms and hymns. Notice the next phrase. Spiritual songs. These express in song the testimony of what God has done for us and of what God will do for us. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. How many of you are glad you're going to be there? Listen, thank God for that. Thank God for the rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee, based upon Psalm 91. And these are spiritual songs that lift our heart. And what I want you to see tonight is when we sing, you ought to have your heart into it, and you ought to be listening, because the songs that we sing at Lancaster Baptist Church are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that will edify your faith. They're not songs that are just about Sally broke her foot and Johnny broke his truck and they both broke up and they're so sad. And it's not just all about that, but it's all about Him. Amen? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the inward dwelling. Some of you ought to pray tonight, God, I want Your Word to dwell in me. I want Your Word to come deep into my heart in the new year. The inward dwelling. And then as parents tonight, for example, as the Word is dwelling in you, then you can teach and admonish. And you can teach and admonish your children from the Word. And through the songs that we sing, they teach. And by the way, the way we sing them teaches. Our children come to church and they see us not cracking a Bible. Our children come to church and we're up there and Brother Guy says, let's stand and sing Victory in Jesus. And you're looking to see who's there and who's not there and the light bulb that's out. Your children see that. But if they see a daddy singing, I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory. And they think, boy, that's important to Dad. He sings it like he believes it. That teaches them something too. We need to be engaged in our worship services. Engaged. That's the transference of truth that's happening right there. I believe tonight that when preaching comes, we ought to be engaged in preaching. It's a silly little thing. That's why we're getting new cushions on these chairs. We're getting new chairs, in fact, because the new chairs will be a little more engaging. These chairs are nice. These chairs are comfortable. These chairs are soft. But the new chairs will be engaging. Engagingly soft and comfortable. I'm telling you right now, I know I'm old school about it, but I believe God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. I believe every family here needs the preaching of the Word of God. And I believe when it comes time for preaching, we ought to be attentive and ready, and we ought to have this attitude. If I'm the only one in here tonight, I know I want to get right with God before this is over with. And our attitude ought not to be, I'm already right with God, try to show me where I'm not. Our attitude ought to be, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need this tonight. But did you know that our attitude should be the same towards singing? It's time for singing. What can I learn? The psalms and hymns, that's what he says. God says, let the Word dwell in you. And I'll show you one way you can do that. With psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you can get the Word of God into your heart. That's why the right music is so important. It's got to have a solid Bible message that's transferring the truth. And listen, if it's just some little ditty singing over and over again about the sunset or the moon or singing about something flowery thing that has nothing to do with the Bible, it's not going to help us spiritually. But the right kind of song will help us grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the transference of the truth. So we have the inward dwelling of the truth, the outward transference of the truth. Now notice this thirdly, the upward worship of the truth, and we'll be done. Notice this with me tonight, verse 16. And let's follow along now, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That's that inward dwelling. And notice now, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now watch this. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I don't know about you, I love it when children sing. Ephesians 5:1 says, follow God as dear children. I just love it when the kids get up here and sing praise to God. There's just a grace about that. There's an innocence about that. There's a purity about that. Now, upward worship begins with singing with grace. Singing with grace. This singing is spontaneous and continuous when God's Word is rich in our hearts. Now, again, let's just be honest tonight about this fact. When you have had a week that has been a week where the Word of God is dwelling in you, maybe you're listening to a podcast or the Bible reading on your headphones, or you're just taking time to have devotions, and when you come into church kind of prayed up, and maybe you spend some time on Saturday night getting your heart ready, right? And when you come into church and the Word of God is dwelling in you, watch this. A song is sung that is biblically based. Something's going to agree in your heart with that song, and you're going to want to sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." You're going to want to sing about the victory in Jesus, or the little town of Bethlehem, because you just read about it in the Bible, and now from a heart of grace, there's agreement, and you can sing about that. Now watch this, practically speaking. If you neglect your devotions, you've listened to the talk radio all week, you had an argument with your wife, you got an argument with your boss, and you come into church on a Sunday morning and, man, you're just kind of fried. You're just kind of ticked off or frustrated. It's going to take a little moment of the Holy Spirit kind of chipping away and chipping away. A lot of men will come to church. I see it every Sunday. They'll stand there, maybe not even sing the first song. Hopefully they start singing by the second or third song. And I start praying. Sometimes I'll stand up here and I'll say, and as I did this morning, "God, help that man right over there, two rows behind Brother Hauk. I don't know who he is. He hasn't sung a word this morning. Either he doesn't know you, or he hasn't spent time with you, but he's not sung a word, Lord. I don't know the problem there, but help him." But you see, when you know the Lord, and you're filled up with the word of the Lord, and the whole church is singing about Jesus, even if you can't hold a tune, you want to say something to him. I know there's a few of you guys going, "I don't sing. I just don't sing. It's not my spiritual gift." Singing is not a spiritual gift. Singing is a commandment of God to people who have the word in them. And when the word's in you, it's going to come out of you. Listen, don't save the blessing just for the shower. Share it at church too. Sing to the Lord. "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Listen, it would be a good thing if your children could hear you this week just singing to the Lord and just singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Or singing some song that you've heard at church, or "Rooted in Christ," or just praising God, the outflow of what's going on in your heart. And I'm saying to you tonight, there's a reason we sing and there's a reason we don't sing. And the reason we sing is because we're not offended, we're growing in the Word, we're filled with the Word, and what the song says is what's in my heart. And so I want to sing what's in my heart. Because what's in my heart is not anger and angst. What's in my heart is the Word of God. And that's what it says here. It says, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God doesn't want us standing up here and just singing. He says, "I want you to sing from a graceful heart." He doesn't want us saying, "Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Pastor's making me sing. He says I have to. He's looking right at me." God says, "Look, I don't just want you singing. I want some grace in that heart when you sing. I want you to be happy about me. I want you to be glad I came to the manger. I want you to be glad I went to the cross. When you sing about the fountain filled with blood, would you remember it was my real blood? Would you sing it from your heart like you're thankful? With grace in your heart. With a tender spirit in your heart." When the singing is with grace, it will also be singing that is to God. Notice that as we close tonight. Singing with grace in your hearts. Say the last three words, please. Say it again. To the Lord. One more time. All right, let's get this straight. When the choir sings, we used to have signs in the back hallway that said this: "Sing to the audience of one." As I stand to preach week after week, I try to preach to an audience of one. Lord, what do you want me to say tonight? What will please you, Lord? I hope it blesses your people, but my primary objective as a pastor is to please Jesus. And your primary objective in singing, and the choir's primary objective, is not just that the church says, "Ho, ho, whoa, they're awesome. you know? And someone standing up and just nailing a song and doing a great job with it, their primary objective, if they are filled with the Spirit, is that when you heard that song, it drew you to Jesus Christ. Because it says in verse 16, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So when we sing tonight, we're singing to the Lord. It's a form of worship. When we gave tonight, we weren't giving to the church. We were giving to the Lord. When we sing, we're singing not for the church. We're singing for the Lord. And we're singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Psalm 30 and verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I challenge you tonight with these thoughts, that your life would have an inward dwelling of the Word of God. Not just the kids memorizing, but all of us memorizing and reading an inward dwelling of the Word of God. Then from that there would be an outward transference to our children, to our Sunday school class, a transferring of the Word of God. It's in me, and if it's in me, I've got to talk about it. And I don't know what's in the guys at work. Listen, I don't know what got into the guys at work today that you work with, but you're going to hear about it tomorrow. Some of them are going to say, whoa, man, I am hungover today. I got a headache. Why are they going to say that Monday? Because of what they're doing tonight, right? Some of them are going to say, oh, man, my team won. Why? Because that's what they focused on today. A lot of them are going to talk about the tragedy in Connecticut because they're going to watch a lot of news about that. And it gets in their heart and their mind, and they talk about it. But the point is this. Good, bad, different, sports, whatever. We tend to talk about and transfer about what we've been taking in. And God says, I want you to take my word in so that you can teach others about me. And I want you to sing to me. And I want you to make melody in your heart with an upward worship, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I want you to sing to me and for me. And I want to challenge you with something tonight. First, in these next few days before Christmas, take time in God's word. During the Christmas season, read Luke 2 again. You say, I've read it 100 times. Read it another 100 and let it sink in. And read it to your children. And sing it with your children. Pick a Christmas carol or two and sing it. And I want to challenge you as we approach the new year. And please, tonight, this is not a chastisement. It's not a guilt. It's a challenge to you. If you haven't read the Bible this year, there are so many good plans. There's the one on daily in the Word. There's different daily Bible reading types of Bibles and schedules. I've got a new one right now that I'm using on my iPad. I started a few weeks ago going through again the reading of the Word of God. You say, but you're the pastor. You've read it many times, but I've got to read it again, folks. Listen, I can't live on a reservoir of last decade's Bible reading. I've got to keep it fresh today for me. I've got to let it dwell in me. It's got to percolate in me. I can't share it if it's not there. And then when I have it in me, and when I hear the songs like I did tonight, the joy that comes to my heart, the tears that come to my eye, it's because those kids are saying what I know to be true. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that He is wonderful and true. And I can sing with them and praise with them, because He's dwelling and His truth is dwelling richly in my heart. I got to tell you, sometimes if you think you're not growing like you should, it's not always the preacher's fault. But if you come in tonight with a heart in love with Jesus and in love with the Word of God, the more you hear of Him, the greater He is. It's a wonderful experience, the Christian life. But the commandment is clear. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for this one verse. It teaches us how important your word is, how we need to hear it, heed it, hide it in our hearts, So, Lord, help us not to think this is a message just for the children, but help us, Father, to recognize it's for all of us.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.